Hello and welcome to the With Love podcast, where everything we say, do, and talk about is in love and from a place of love. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm your host, Abby.
And we are so excited to go on this journey with you guys.
So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and let's talk about all things life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of With Love, the podcast, where everything we say, do, and talk about is in love and from a place of love. You guys, I am so excited about this episode because we have one of my nearest and dearest friends, Miss Caroline Ray, in the building. Well, not the literal building, but through technology. She is truly one of the funniest, wisest, kindest and most gifted people I know. She is a heart of gold, a heart for the church, and a heart after God's own. Honestly, after every conversation with her, I feel so encouraged, ready to tackle life. We often joke that sometimes we are the same person living different lives, but honestly, yes. if we are, that is such a big compliment to me because she is an amazing person and my life is 10 times better with her in it. So I'm excited for everyone listening for their life to get 10 times better right now. She is a phenomenal singer, songwriter, leader of the youths and all the peoples. She is a member of VU Worship at the moment and all around one of the most passionate and on fire for God people I know. We are blessed to have her on the podcast and she lives a crazy full life. So thank you, Caroline, for making time for us. And I'm so excited for this podcast. So without further ado, Miss Caroline Ray, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself? Where you're from, your background, maybe a piece of advice or something. I know. Leave us with a bit of wisdom to get started.
Stop. I'm literally blushing. I'm literally blushing in Miami, Florida right now, currently.
Bella, I love you so much. Abby, I love you too. What an honor it is to even be like considered to be on this podcast. I cannot believe it. This is a first for me. So this is so fun. Like, I'm like so jittery and so nervous, but I'm so excited. So everyone, all the listeners, all the peoples, all the youths, all men, women, love you. I am Caroline Ray. That is my name. I'm actually originally from the beautiful state of Louisiana, all the way in America. And I currently live in Miami, Florida. And as Bella said, I am a part of VU Worship. I just have the honor of getting to live in Miami and be under the most incredible pastors, Pastor Rich and Don Shree Wilkerson. Love them with my whole heart. And I just get to be a part of this VU community and I love it. And some wisdom, girl, I'm just out here trying. Girl, I'm really just out here trying to live my life. I'm just out here taking it day by day. And that's the wisdom I would be giving people right now is, yes, life is crazy. Yes, life goes a million miles an hour at every city that you will ever live at. But just take things day by day, people. Hour by hour, moment by moment. And in this moment, we get to do a podcast together. And in this moment, we get to be present. We get to have the most beautiful conversation. And we just get to talk about life. And Jesus, I love that guy. And we get to talk about how wonderful and beautiful he is and how we can always grow. And so day by day, people. Always take it hour by hour, second by second, day by day. So yeah, that'd be my wisdom. Yeah. And I'm happy. I'm jolly. I'm holy. I'm healthy. Thank you, Lord.
That is so beautiful. Honestly, I love how you wear Jesus and how much you love him. I feel like it instantly makes me go, oh my gosh, I love him so much as well. And I feel like it's probably doing the same to everyone listening. They're all saying yes from wherever they are.
Yes.
But anyway, so today's topic is actually all about worship and praise versus performance. And basically, wow. How do we remain authentic in a world that kind of tells us to like be fake, put on a facade, do it for yourself, be performance driven? How do we basically continue to glorify God when it's very easy to make it about ourselves and about our talents and about who we are and what we can bring to the table? So we're kind of just going to be talking about that, talking about purity of heart, how to remain pure, how to detect authentic praise, how to just basically keep our praise authentic when everyone is almost saying don't. But yeah, so obviously we know from your intro, your bio, I guess, that you are a very gifted and talented person. I know from firsthand experience.
Stop it.
And when you are such a gifted and talented person, it can actually be very hard having people tell you constantly how good you are. I know we've like had this small conversation about this once before, but like, yeah. Not hard in the sense that like, oh, I hate hearing it, because we actually love hearing it. Hard in the sense that like, it can very quickly become about our talents and our gifts.
Yeah.
And our yeah. natural and flesh abilities, I guess. So like, how have you gone about keeping your heart pure and keeping it all about him when
yeah.
people have constantly praised you? And how do you actively make it about him day by day?
Yeah, I think that's such a beautiful question. Like, mm-hmm. and this doesn't even have to do like with like, this is such a good question for worship in general, but also yeah. it's such a good question for literally every part of our lives, like every area of our 100%. Lives. Like, when it comes to any gift, any talent, relationships, friendships, like family, mm-hmm. it's just, I love this question. And it's a question, honestly, I feel like that it's never ending. Like, we can always learn more. Like, there's always something, like more practical things that we can learn. There's always going to be more verses that align with it. And there's always going to be more teachings, like from literally our rabbi, who is going to be able to teach us and walk us through that. But girl, I love, because we're all human. Like, none of us can deny that we're all human. And I'm so grateful for like love from people and encouragement from people and love about like the gift that is so, so much the Lord's and not even mine, that people can compliment. But I remember when I first kind of started singing and just like getting out there and like stepping on a stage, even though I knew like I didn't want to, but I knew it was what the Lord kind of called me to do.
Yeah.
And people encouraging that in me and just, wow, your voice is this, or your gift is this, and your talent and your confidence and blah, blah, blah. And I just would always be like, oh, no, no, no. Like, I would reject it. I would reject it. I would reject it week after week, month after month. And finally, I had this person come up to me one time and they were like, hey, every time I try to encourage you, like, you kind of stiff arm me in a way that I feel like is dishonoring to God. Yeah. And I remember like standing back and immediately being like, all right, this is a Holy Spirit moment. Like, I need to check myself. Like, this is not a moment to be like, offense and be like, what do you mean? Like, what, why? Like, literally, it was like, please tell me, teach me, like, show me how can I be better? And they gave me the most beautiful analogy that I've ever heard. They said, they're like, every time somebody comes up to you and gives you a compliment, think of it like a rose, think of it like your favorite flower. And they give you this compliment and you take this flower and you smell it and you admire the beauty of it. And then you take the next compliment. And then you take the next encouragement. And by the end of the night, Caroline, you have an entire bouquet that you can lay at the feet of Jesus and be like, look, this is yours. You deserve this. This is all about you. And it was the most beautiful thing of like, wow, this is such a good practical thing for me to be able to do. And it still will always bring you back to the feet of Jesus, because that's what it's about. And that's what it will always be about, because it is all about him and it will always be about him. And so I think that was such a beautiful practical thing that I took away from, like, how to not let this get to my head and how to remain still humble. Because I feel like a lot of people, instead of like walking in humility, actually just walk in fear of becoming prideful. So now they're just walking in fear and they're just fearful instead of humble. And it's like this fine line of like, okay, Lord, like, please do not let me be prideful. I do not want to be prideful. But he's showing me in the most beautiful way of like, no, like, I'm giving you these flowers, daughter. Please take them. Like, you have said yes. You have been obedient. Like, I want to give you these flowers. And so I get to take them, admire the beauty of them, and lay them at the feet of Jesus, and not allow all these compliments to turn into like, oh, well, I am good. Well, that note did kind of sound good, didn't it? And it turned into like, thank you, Lord. Like, you got me through this. You got me through this song. Thank you, Jesus, for the wisdom that you gave me to speak over this. And I and somebody else got to receive from it. And now I get to smell this beautiful flower and give it to you. And so that was something that really shook me to my core, where I was like, I don't ever want to dishonor the Lord's gift by rejecting it, because it is, he gave it to me to use for him. And by not acknowledging it and not showing it any love and honor and glory is just a disrespect to the gift. And it's like, man, Lord, you gave this to me and I want to give you so much glory and honor. And so I will literally accept all the roses that you're giving to me, and I will give them right back to you, because like, that is what I'm called to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That is so beautiful. Oh my gosh.
I loved it.
Yeah. I love that flower analogy. I actually like distinctly remember you told me that once, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. And now, like, time and again, I often like randomly just think about it, and I'm like, oh, he's a little bouquet lord. Yes. But I love that you said the thing about gifts, like how he actually gave them to you for a reason. Yeah. And we need to honor him through them.
Yeah.
I think that also, like, your gifts aren't your gifts because you're great. Our gifts are our gifts because he is great, and he's entrusted
Bella.
To help lead his people in some way with like these gifts. And I think also, like, when you know your gifting, it can get hard to, like, I don't know, not always, but like, it can get hard to honor him with it and remain humble in it, because you can easily begin to think, oh, I'm better than that person. Why did they roster them? Or like, why did they ask them to pray and not me to pray? Like, they know I'm a prayer warrior. Like, it's more than just like worship as well. Like, can be preaching, leading, teaching, whatever it is. Like, that's actually your pride talking. And I don't think people always realize that that's a pride thing. They're just like, oh, but do they not think I'm better than them? Do they not think I'm just as good? It's like, no, God's actually gifted all of us uniquely for a different time, a different season. And it's just their season right now as well. And I think it's also like, it's not about how good we are. It's about how God is going to use this moment to minister to people. And if he chooses me, I'm so blessed by that. He's using me to show the world him. Like, are you kidding me? He's using me as living proof through my gifts and talents. Like, I should be so blessed to be able to do that.
Yes.
But I really loved that. Did you want to add anything to it, Abby? Did you think anything on it?
Hello, everyone. I love
that. Hi, Abby.
Hi, Caroline. I agree with everything that you guys have said. I don't think there's much more.
Thing?
Bella wants to say something. Hold on. We'll be back.
She's coming back.
I'm back. I just wanted to say that you're like, you touched a little bit on pride and how sometimes like pride
makes
better of us. And I recently found this quote that said, we were like at some lunch or something, and we were looking up this book, and one of the quotes that came up was, it's pride that made angels devils, and it's humility that will make men like angels.
And literally,
dang, Bella, that's intense.
Yes, Bella, I was literally gonna say that next, and like, I was thinking, I was like, oh, maybe this would be something for like a next question, but no, like, I feel it on my heart, like something that I think people often forget, which is so simple to forget, is that like, the whole reason for the enemy literally falling, being the lead worship leader in heaven, like Satan at one point was the lead worship leader. He sang holy, holy, holy. He was the lead worship leader. Mm-hmm. He fell from heaven into hell because of pride, because he was like, I am good. I am the best. It's like pride is the root, or my relationships don't work out because I'm prideful, or like, it's something that I feel like is something that we as Christians, we as humans, we as people just need a constant heart check of in every area of our life, is like, is pride leading me in this area, or like, am I getting to take control of it? And oftentimes as like worship leaders, that is the main attack from the enemy, is pride. Mm.
Yeah.
Because that's what created the entire fall, was like, this whole pride journey. And so it's no shock that like the main thing that most people go through is they just started relying on themselves and on their own gift before they relied on the anointing and before they relied on him. And like, it's his gift. It's not our gift. And something I think is, you said too, which like, it's uniquely yours. Like every single gift looks different. And that's what is also so beautiful, but so many people can just become in this dark place because they allow comparison, and comparison kills everything.
Yeah.
Because they allow comparison and they're looking at everyone else's gift, thinking that my gift doesn't look like theirs. And I'm like, no, honey, it's not supposed to. Like, that's the beauty of all of our gifts. Yeah. Like, I don't worship like the most incredible worship leader I've ever seen. Like, I worship like my own. I don't like, we have our unique gifts. We have our unique languages. Like every speaking in tongues language looks different. And it's that's the beauty of it. It's your own personal conversation. It's your own personal gift that you have with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. And so I feel like I could go off on like a tangent upon tangent when it comes to like gifts and comparison, yeah. But it's like, I just want to be able to highlight the beauty of how different everyone's gift is when it comes to worship and when it comes to singing, when it comes to playing, and when it comes to like how you worship it. Everyone looks different. Like when we're just talking in the realm of worship, but again, we could talk about it in the realm of everything. But since the topic is worship, it's just everyone looks different. And it's something that I feel like a lot that I've been thinking about today when leading up to this conversation has been like, you know what, Lord, like I just have on my heart that he's just like, we need to go back to the basics and just remind people of the simple things, because it doesn't have to be as complicated as people have made it, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. That is honestly 100% true. And when you started talking about competition, I actually wrote down this quote that I wanted to read because I saw it.
I love your quotes.
From C.S. Lewis, and it was so good. And he said, pride is competitive by its very nature. So like pride is competition and being competitive and seeing who's the best at this. Like that is what pride is. And that is like goes on and on. If I'm a proud man, then as long as there is one man in the whole world more powerful, more richer, or cleverer than I, he is my rival and my enemy. So he was basically saying that we need to remove the competition within the church and within people. And that's how we will actually remove pride. And even when Paul says the sin, throw off the sin that so easily entangles, like it actually creeps in. It easily entangles. It's something that it's like a little necklace that gets easily tangled up. Like it easily entangles, and then we can't undo it because we're so far deep into it. So like you said, I think we need to do random checks of it, like monthly, weekly, however, like frequently you need to do these checks. But
totally
ask yourself, like, what's my intention behind it? Why am I doing this? Why am I desiring this? Like, and I think those checks will help you discern your why and help you remain, I don't know, pure in it all, I guess.
Yes. I love that. Totally.
So
comparison,
good.
Comparison kills your contentment. Like,
yeah,
the more you compare, like, you will never be content. And I, ironically, like, I'm under the most incredible leadership of Pastor Rich Wilkerson and Don Cherie Wilkerson. And I, before I even moved to Miami, I heard Pastor Rich say that in a sermon back in 2017. And it stuck with me ever since that, like, comparison, the more I compare, like, my contentment will literally die and I will not be content with anything in the Lord. So,
yeah,
again, I could go off on a tangent about all of this.
Yeah. Like, no, I know, but it's so crazy. Like, yeah, you could talk about pride for ages.
Ages. But it'll probably come up even more because we're talking about worship.
Yeah. Worship. But anyway, so speaking of pride, I guess, is it wrong, do you think, to like participate in worship when we know, and I feel like, I don't know, you can often feel or you can tell when the person or whoever's leading, I guess, that person, you can tell they care more about the performance and the potential that they have in the moment to make the veil between heaven and earth thin. Like, is it okay to participate in that? They care, like, if you know that they're caring more about how they're perceived by this congregation than they are about how God is going to use them in this moment. And can you still feel his presence when the worship leader is like that?
Wow. That is a great heavy question. No, girl, heavy. All right. Another dang tangent. We're going to go on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer the last part of the question. So can you repeat the second part of that question one more time for me?
The second part, like the last one?
Yeah. Yeah, because I want to answer that one first.
Can you still feel his presence when a leader is making it about them instead of about God?
Absolutely. Because I just want anyone to know that, like, we are called to worship everywhere and always. And worship is a vertical thing that I do between myself and my Savior. And if I'm allowing other people to determine what my worship looks like, then my confidence in my worship with the Savior, there's something wrong, because I can be, and this can even go, like, I can start answering the first question where it's like, how do you go about that? Is it like wrong? Like when you think that some, or when you feel like, you know, that the person up there is completely doing performance, it's like, I worship anyways, despite, like, I am in a moment of worship and I will not allow, like, somebody else's and my own personal judgment and assumption upon somebody else. First of all, mm-hmm. God is the ultimate judge. Like, who am I? I have no idea. I might can think that they're performing. I might can think that they have the spirit of performance on them. But ultimately, what I am doing is I have decided, Lord, I'm going to worship you in this moment. And I trust you because this is about me and you. This is about me and this person on stage and me and the person next to me and the person on stage or me and the person next to me who I know is raising their hand because their boyfriend's sitting behind them and they want their boyfriend to think that they're holy. Like, shoot, we have all been there. Like, y'all, we have been there. Like,
say it as it is.
Like, where people, we can assume things, but like, in reality, the Lord is the ultimate judgment, and whatever that worship leader's heart is will be dealt with between them and the Lord. Like, that is not between, that's not like my decision to make. I will not sit and cross my arms and stare at them and be like, oh, they're performing with a stank face on, because that's my problem. That is ultimately like, Caroline, you need to deal with your bitterness. You need to deal with your judgment problem, and you need to be able to get on your knees, surrender that to the Lord. And be like, forgive me for allowing a distraction into my personal worship with you, Lord, because this is not about anyone. What worship is to surrender and give you glory and honor that you deserve, because you alone are worthy. You alone deserve this. And I will not let anything distract me from giving you my all, because these people are people, but you are my God. And so I think that, because we've all been there, I'm sure, where we walk in on a bad day and we're like, well, I know what they were doing on a Saturday night because I saw their Instagram story. I know what they were drinking, and now they're up here and they're leading me in worship. So I don't want to be led by worship in that. I don't know what they have on them. And it's like, girl, you got to get out of your head. You got to stop thinking that you are playing God and that you are judging, when reality, you need to go up there and be like, Lord, forgive me for letting my mind go too far. Forgive me. And Lord, I know that you will deal with that. And even like something that it kind of reminds me of is like, say that I'm like driving or I'm on the streets or something and I have some extra cash and I see some people who may be homeless or maybe needing, it's like the scriptures and the words that are going through my mind are like, clothe the naked, like feed the hungry. That's what I'm supposed to do. That is my calling. So Lord, you know these people's lives and what they're going through. You know why they're on the street. You know why maybe they don't have clothes, you know why they don't have food, but I'm giving them my money because you have told me to do so, or I'm giving them clothes because you have told me to do so. And what they do with that money, that's up to them, Lord. That is between you and them. But you know my heart intention, and my heart intention is to serve your people like you told me to. So I'm going to give them this money, and what they do with that is between you and them. But between you and me, God, I'm serving my God and I'm serving his people. Same with worship, where it's like, I'm walking in here serving you, Lord. What happens between this worship leader and you, that's between you. But I'm putting my trust, Lord, that your presence will meet me right where I'm at in this room. And this is not about the people. This is not about the clothes. This is not about the fun vibe. But this is not about, is the song good? Do I want to worship to this? Do I know this melody? Do I know the words of this song? No, it's about surrender and giving glory and honor to where honor's due. And so I think that oftentimes we are all like, we can all say that we've done it, where we've walked in or felt off or had a conversation that maybe felt a little bit iffy with the worship leader or with an executive pastor or whatever it may be. But ultimately, this is a vertical one-on-one relationship. At the end of the day, when we go to heaven and we walk in there for judgment, it is you and me, God. This is not you. This is not you, me, and the fake worship leader. This is you and me. Like, Lord, I'm worshiping even harder today. I'm going to go all out today. I'm going to dance like David danced today. You want to know why, God? Because I can look at this situation and I can be even more grateful for your presence. And I can say, thank you, Jesus, that even in the midst of brokenness and confusion and assumption and maybe like false whatever's happening, I can still worship you exactly how I know how, because this is not about other people, but this is about you. And this is not about keeping my eyes on other people, but it's all about you. And so I just think that oftentimes we can walk in with the mindset of like, ooh, they got a problem, they need to do something. But girl, point at yourself, because you're the one walking in like with all these, like, you're like, I look good. I came into worship. And now look at you, worship leader. You're getting in front of my worship. And it's like, no, the only person who's deciding that, who's going to get in front of your worship, is you. And ultimately, it's something that you have to deal up, like vertically, like you have to deal up with it. You have to talk to God about it. This is not like, I'm going to go tell my pastor about what they posted on Instagram. It's like, girl.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise him, because it's always. Lord. You're like, praise the Lord. Like, it is always a good time to praise him. Like, yeah. Even in the confusion, even in the assumption, even in the, well, in the doubts, it's like, praise him. Just keep your hands raised. Like, literally raise your hands. And like, it is scientifically proven that, like, that stance of like, I'm literally doing it right now. Like, the stance of just surrender and holding up your hands creates victory. And like, it, yeah. You physically get stronger. And it's like, even in the Bible, like when Moses is raising his hands, but they're so weak, and sending people to Moses to hold up his left and his right arm. And as his hands are raised, the battle is being won. And yeah. It's such a beautiful picture that, like, as my hands are raised, even in the midst of my mind going crazy, even in the midst of my flesh wanting to take over and be judgmental and overall create these negative connotations to church or to worship or to whatever it is, it's like, my hands are raised and I will praise you even my weakest moments, because this is not about people, but it's about presence. Mm-hmm. And that his presence is everywhere, and it's up to me to worship, and it's up to me to choose, you know, like, it's not like, oh, he can't meet me in the bathroom, girl, he can meet you in your bathroom, you know, like,
yeah. He can meet you everywhere. Yeah,
that was. He can meet you everywhere.
Yeah, I really loved that. That was beautiful. And I also love that you were like, well, what's going on for you to think that they've got something wrong with them? Like, what's going on inside yeah. of you? And I think something that's important is if you're walking in going, oh, that person, oh, they're such, like, they're making it all about them. They only care about how they look. They only care about how they're perceived. Like, why do you think that? Like, is it because right. you participated in gossip with other people and you've spoken Ching. About it and now that's in right. your head? Because in Proverbs 10, it literally calls it worthless blabber, and like, gossip rocks the heart and it affects your perception yeah. of people. Yes. And so we need to be so careful, because it can end up affecting our ability to worship God because of the conversations yes. that we're involved in.
Yes, Bella.
Yeah, gossip can honestly just like ruin the whole, it can put off the whole congregation. It's not even just about you and your thoughts on this person. It can actually put off the whole atmosphere. And so yep. I think that you really need to check your source and check why you're thinking that. And I think also sometimes maybe you're noticing it because the Lord wants you to actually be an encouragement in their life. If you yep. haven't participated in gossip, you haven't seen anything wrong, you just feel it. Maybe that's the Lord saying, hey, I want you to be a friend to that person, and I want yes. you to be a voice of encouragement to them and be like, yeah. hey, do you know that God's gifted you? Do you know that you're called for such a time as this? Do you know that you're doing this for a reason? Like, we're so blessed to be able to have these gifts to facilitate the growth of his kingdom. And so I think, yeah, take it to Jesus, check where this like information or the feeling is coming from.
Yes.
It's really important.
So important.
Yeah. But for the next one, Abby, did you want to add anything? Ask the next question. Chat.
Yeah. I'll ask the next
we question. Love Abby.
I feel like we already answered the next question, actually. Would you
Well, what was it? How do we know our worship is become about us?
Girly, yeah. ask it.
Ask it. Just ask it.
Okay, we're asking it. It says, how do we know when our worship has become about us and about how we're performing or how we're perceived? What can we do to return to our authenticity? How do we make our praise authentic again? Is there a practice this is good. Or something we can do as congregation members or worship leaders that will help keep our praise pure and yeah. an authentic expression of our adoration towards Christ?
Great. I don't think we answered this question, Abby, so I'm glad you asked it.
well, I feel like we've touched on parts of it, but yeah, I feel like there's more.
So but girly, more. Yeah, you with me, I will go on a tangent. oh my gosh, this is a great, guys, whoever came up with these questions, like, these are good.
They're deep.
No, they're deep, but it's like also like, I don't even think that, first of all, I should have said this a long time ago, like, yo, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I got here. I don't know what's going on, but I'm literally just out here just trying to do my best. Like, I am by no means like even partially like a great, really solid, like holy, incredible human. Like, I'm really just out here trying to live like Jesus, you know, like, oh, stop, stop it. Bella, I'll puke right now. No, so something that, what was the question?
You actually want me to say it again?
No, just like start saying it really quick to remind okay. me what I was thinking.
How do we know when our worship's become about us?
Perfect, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So
all that.
Something that This is great. So I have the most incredible mentor ever. She is my queen and she keeps me stable. I also recommend to every human being who is listening to be praying about a mentor in your life. I had the most incredible mom who really prayed over me ever since a child of like, God, give her a mentor, give her a mentor, and give her a mentor that can pour into her in ways that I can't. And it was just the most beautiful organic thing that just happened is I have a Christian mentor, kind of just took me under her wing at a young age for me and has been there since like day one of me even starting to sing. And that girl is still stuck around. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But I remember there was a time where I would sing, and every single time I would sing, I would have to have somebody wait for me behind backstage, whatever. And I would just fall in their arms and cry. I would weep. I would sob after every time I sang. Girl, I could sing and I'd be like, ooh, and I would cry. Like, I would be done and have to weep in whoever's arms, or it'd be a whole worship set. And I remember it got to the point where my mentor finally looked at me and she was like, this has to stop. And this has to start coming from a place that is not about you. Because why you're crying, Caroline, is because you're making this about you and you have your eyes on you and you alone. And I remember it was just something where I was like, oh my gosh, I thought that I'm out here leading worship. And like my really earliest stages, I don't know how to lead worship, but I thought that I was like, oh, I'm on stage. Like I did it. Like I did it for the Lord. I'm uncomfortable. And that's good. But no, it's so much deeper than that. And I realized that I was sobbing because I was like, oh my gosh, I hit this note wrong. I did this word wrong. But it's like, who am I to put the Holy Spirit in a box that these people aren't hearing the most angelic thing? Like, you know, like there are things where I know the Holy Spirit has corrected like my pitch, or like, isn't as crazy as it sounds. Like I know that he's done it because I have allowed him to use me. And so now to this day, before I get on and sing anywhere, y'all, I could sing in front of a group of 10 people and, or however many people. And I am so like beside myself nervous. Yeah. And it is not something I used to hate it, but then I realized that on the flip side, if I wasn't nervous and I was like completely chilled, and that means that I have become reliant on my gift and not on the anointing. And so I think that in ways that we can make sure to not make it about practical things is like, you have to have a secret place. Like you have to have a place where you go and you are with the Lord, and that you have your secret place. You have your war room. And some, and in a season of my life, my secret place was my car. And another season of my life, my secret place is my room. And then like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I have a war room with all these beautiful post-it notes on it. It's super aesthetically pleasing. No, like you have to have a secret place. And if you are not worshiping when you're off that stage, if you're not raising your hands, if you're not creating melodies and singing to the Lord every other day, like of the week, and you're only singing to him on Sunday when you're on stage, it's like you are going to just dry, and you're going to be completely relying on your gift and on your voice and on the vocal cords, and you're not relying on the anointing and the overflow, because that's what it's about. It's about like getting in your secret place and creating a relationship with your Father. And there's something so beautiful and so deep and so real, and battles are won in this secret place. And the Holy Spirit walks with you everywhere you go, but in the midst of your secret place is what can push you and propel you onto the stage to where you are able to be up there and you'll be able to understand that, like, this is not about me. This is so much bigger than me. And in all reality, I'm literally just being used as a vessel from heaven to reach these people and stand in the gap for people. And I'm pouring out and being poured into. But if I'm not having a secret place, and if I'm not seeking the Lord, I'm not creating a relationship and an intimacy with him, then it's going to be exhausting. It's going to get me nowhere. I'm going to feel used in a bad way. In reality, we're like, we are all tools, and we are like an instrument for Jesus. We're supposed to be used by him, but we would add this whole negative connotation to it because we're like, I'm exhausted, I can't do this. But it's like, what does your war room look like? Like, what does your secret place look like? Like, Like, what are your prayers sounding like? Like, are you, would your prayers change the world, or would they just change you? And it's something, mm-hmm. like you were saying earlier, Bella, like, it's a weekly heart check. And so, yeah, we kind of already touched on it, but at the same time, like, one of the most important thing about worship is relationship with God and your intimacy yeah. with Him. And so if you don't have it, take a step back from that stage and get in your room and get in your secret place and create, because that is the most important part. Like, yeah. it is not about the stage. It's not about what happens. What it's about your relationship. It's about your love. It's about your character. It's about your spirit. It's about your soul. And a pastor told me once, like, that I thought was, I've been considering, like, literally tattooing it on my body, is he told me, he was like, I live 95.5. And it's, so it's like 95-5. And he was like, 95% of my ministry and who I am is outside of the four walls of the church. It is off the stage. Wow. It is not with a microphone. He is like, it is about the time that I spend with Jesus, the people that I reach outside of the church. He was like, only 5% matters when I'm on. That's it. He was like, we are called to live 95.5. We are called to, like, Jesus lived 95.5. Like, that man was discipling. It's healing. That man was out there. And then, like, we only hear a couple times, like, when Jesus is 12 years old, when temple, when, you know, his parents left him. It's like, and he's preaching to people. Yeah. And, but that's what we do. Like, we're called to live 95.5. And so, I don't know, like, what are your thoughts? Like, what are you thinking right now? Yeah. I want to hear okay. your voice.
I love that. 95.5. Let's get it tatted together.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, fun. Beautiful. Okay, everyone listening, we're all going to go get these tattoos together.
All of us together, yeah. We do it all together.
We're going to have a meetup at a tattoo parlor.
tattoo?
Anyway, I love what you were saying about, like, practicing getting away with God and spending time with Him, because I think as a worship leader, you can always kind of tell when that person leading has gotten away with God, and they are pouring from an overflow. They're not pouring from an underflow. And I yeah. think that when you're pouring from an overflow, it can be a constant flow, because the well is much deeper. And wow. I think that that's something wow. that, okay, fun fact about me, just to make it just really quick. I actually led worship. Well, didn't lead worship, but I was on worship team for like a year in youth.
Yes,
and
Bella!
It was, and I used
bring
to like
her
love
back.
To
bring her back. Bring no, her
stop,
back.
Stop. Abby also did it. Abby also Ew. Did it. No, but like, I feel like that's something I just didn't understand. I didn't know. And I felt like there was all this stress and all this pressure to like perform and be at this level and do this. Mm. But I didn't realize that it should be coming from an overflow. And I just didn't end yeah. up liking it. I don't feel called to that right now. But at the time, I just didn't end up liking it. Didn't feel like I wanted to get involved in it at all. Like, yeah. didn't care. And it's just because I didn't understand what worship was and where it should be coming from. And it should have yes. been coming from that private time and that overflow of deep intimacy with Him. Yeah. And then, like, just as a congregation member, if you are a worship leader, I think something that has helped me keep my praise authentic, because when you're part of the congregation, it can be very easy to look around and be like, oh, what's that person doing? Oh, what's that person doing? Why aren't they raising their hands? Oh, are they crying? Oh my gosh. Like, you know, you get so worked up in things. And I think something that's helped me keep it literally just me and Him in those moments is saying words that aren't necessarily the lyrics of the song, like almost singing my heart cry and pouring my soul out to Him at the altar, and being like, okay, I'm not going to sing these words for this song. I'm just going to pour everything out to Him. And I need this moment right now to just pour it out. And I think that it's created a very deep sense of intimacy, and it's made me more aware of the power of worship. And at first it can be a little awkward, because you're like, oh my gosh, what is my friend next to me going to think? Are they going to hear me like pouring my soul out, pouring my woes, pouring like whatever's going on inside of me out to God? Like, it becomes a little bit like, ah, this is a little scary. But then now it's almost just like second nature. Like on Sunday I was even singing, and then all of a sudden I just started saying my own words, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this a year ago would have freaked me out that I'd be doing this. And now it's like, oh no, it's just a natural flow of me, my adoration to God and my intimacy, my love for Him and worshiping Him. And I think also, like, we can kind of know when worship's become about us, I guess, when we stop doing it privately, because then it's like, oh, at one point, if you were doing it privately and you stop, it's like, oh, now it's no longer actually about the worship. It's about like me. I guess, and what I'm going to bring to the table. And I think it's also maybe if we start caring more about what we wear or how we're perceived, or like you said, being scared of like relying on your talents and instead of relying on him and making it about them. And I actually, when you were saying that, I thought of this other week. We did like a gospel night at church. And before, I was getting lunch with like all different creative people or whatever. And we were kind of just all talking about the night and what it was going to be and what songs what they were doing and whatever. And then some of the guys started going, oh, yeah, no, but it's going to be really bad because like we have three or four different transitions and like none of us have practiced. None of us have rehearsed. Like it's just, I think it's just going to flop. Like it's so scary doing gospel nights. Because like we don't do them every week, so and then I was like, guys, you need to change your tune. Like you're going to confess this, and then it's going to be you're going to be so worked up and so in your head about it. Like imagine what the Holy Spirit could actually do at this moment if you were like, it's going to be so amazing because He's going to invade the place and He's going to help us facilitate His presence. And so we all prayed, and honestly, when I tell you, it was quite possibly one of the best nights of worship our church has experienced this year. Like it was incredible. And the Holy Spirit just invaded that place. And I'm telling you, like, prayer changes things. It changes the atmosphere and our tone and our approach to the Sunday and the day in and day out. Like, it actually can be changed by prayer. So, yeah, that was just a really beautiful story.
It is. And, like, it literally in Proverbs 18:21, for the power of life and death lies in the tongues, and those who eat it will bear its fruit. And it's like, we have the choice of, like, are we going to say words of life over this and be like, oh, the transitions, I'm scared, it's gonna be terrible, it's gonna be an awful night. It's like you were already speaking death over this thing that is supposed to bring life and that will bring life. And so I love that you saw that moment and that you literally decided, like, no, like, praise will be my breakthrough, worship is my warfare, and we're gonna pray our way through this, because that is the root, is like prayer. Like that is our sword. Like that is our weapon, is like the word of God in prayer, because we have direct contact with our Father when we come together in prayer. So I love that, Bella.
Yeah, I love all of that. And I think like it ties into kind of as well, like the purpose of worship and why we actually do worship. And so that kind of would relate to our next question, Caroline, if we can ask you, what do you think the purpose behind worship is? And I think because so often we think, like if someone's good at singing or if we're good at singing, we should join the worship team. But what's actually like the point behind it all? I feel like there's so much more to it than simply just being able to sing. And it's so much weightier than getting up on just a stage and singing songs about Jesus. But why does it carry that weight? And why do we as a church and as a body of Christ put so much emphasis on worshiping through songs specifically? Because obviously worship does have a whole lot of different forms, which we can touch on a bit as well.
I think that's a great question, and even just like thinking about it, I just like think about like the simple answer, because I was thinking about like what I found myself being like, man, like what is worship? Like what are we doing in life? And it literally is simply, and I kind of already said it like earlier, because it's not complicated. Like people have just brought it to this super complicated thing, but it doesn't have to be. And it's not, like, it's literally just complete surrender to God. And it is giving Him the glory and the honor that He deserves. And it is singing songs, because I know that there are songs. It could be literally dancing. I know people dance. Like, because what you were saying, Abby, like there's so many different forms of worship and giving Him our gifts, giving Him our talents, whether it be painting, whether it be writing. I know friends who write poems to Him. I know friends who do interpretive dancing. I have friends who paint. I have like it. But the sole purpose of it is to worship God. And how we do it is just like, Lord, You are worthy. God, we give You the glory. God, we give You the honor and praise, because even though I may be in the highest height or in the lowest low, I have put my faith in God. I put my trust in God. I put my hope in Him, because I know that He is good. Because as human beings, like whether people believe it or not, like we are all like itching to worship something. We're all itching like to look for something, or like look for this purpose or whatever the case may be. whatever the energy or the vibe is that people are saying. But it's like, in reality, we are beings made to worship our creator. Mm. And so we have the urgency and we have the tendencies just to be in this place of like, I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to surrender and I'm going to worship. Mm. And it's just, what a beautiful place.
Yeah. So beautiful.
It's in. And what a beautiful like position that we get to be in as humans who don't even deserve to like be able to participate in such a beautiful thing, but we get the honor to like sit at the feet of Jesus. And it blows my mind every time. I'm like, literally, he does not have to come into the room when we invite him.
Yeah.
God comes every single time, whether we have done the worst thing and we have yet to repent, or whether we are, feel that we are our cleanest. And he's not even asking for us to show up in their cleanest form. Yeah. He wants us just as we are, and he will show up. He will. And that's what blows my mind, is every time on a Sunday, on a Tuesday, on a Monday, on a Sunday night, on a, like random days, if I invite him in to worship him and to surrender, he comes. And who am I? Who are we? Sunday morning, we can gather at church and we can invite the Holy Spirit in. And the Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, will step into our church service. It genuinely baffles me. And I know a lot of people who have the gift of singing and or dancing or whatever the case may be, but it's a calling. Like, we are called, and as his sheep, we know the voice of our shepherd, and we can differentiate between he has asked me to step up or I want to step up and proclaim his name. We know the difference, and deep down we know. We have the spirit, we have discernment, and we can know. But I think that people who are like, I can sing, I should definitely join the worship team because I am a baddie. It's like, no, girl, you are.
Holy
no, brother. No, holy hottie. No, brother in Christ, you are a baddie. But like, let's take a second. And again, it comes up again. Let's give ourselves a heart check. Yeah. Do I want to do this because I know I'm a baddie? Or do I want to do this because I'm up here to give God worship? And also, like, this, as you were saying, Abby, like, it's really weighty. And so this is not something to play with. Like, you can, it's not something where you can just like, oh, I'm just going to step up on stage in front of a lot of people and just proclaim the name of Jesus. It's like, I want you to know that you are standing on the top of the mountain saying, here I am. Yeah. Satan, I'm right here. Yeah. Enemy, look at me. Like, you are screaming to the target on your back just gets bigger. And so if you're not spiritually ready, I would advise, like, do not take the step until, we were talking about it earlier, until you have sat in your secret place. And till you have grasped whatever you can grasp. I don't think we will never be able to grasp the holiness and we'll never be able to actually fully fathom our God and his love and his unconditional love. But until you understand the weight of the calling, that's when it's like, okay. And then you'll definitely be more timid to be like, all right, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. But it's such a weighty calling. It's not something to mess around with and just be like, oh, okay. Like, I'll just go to the middle of the battlefield with no armor and five rocks and a sling, and I'll just figure this out. It's like, no, like, David was called. He was anointed by God to be king. And that's why he went to the middle of the battlefield, and he was chosen. And so I know that every single person who is serving, every single person who is worship leading, every single person who is on welcome team, on a host team, on a parking team, are chosen and anointed for such a time as this. Like, we are called for such a time as this. And whatever your time, whatever your calling you think it is, like, the Lord will choose you for such a time as this. But take what's in your hands right now and take the last thing that the Holy Spirit told you to do, and you do it until the next thing comes. Mm-hmm. Like, the last thing that we want to do is get ahead of God. I don't ever want to look up and see him 50 feet in front of me. And I never want to look up and see that I'm 50 feet in front of him. I want to be aligned with God. I want my desires. Like, I want the desires of my heart to align with the desires of his heart for me. Yeah. And if that's worship, then I'm doing it. And if it's not, then I'm taking a step back. And so I think that if you're listening and you want to join the worship team, it's like, great. Let's take it. And let's actually, like, let's treat it seriously. let's, instead of going to immediately go to voice lessons and start like auditioning and have it, let's fast. Let's talk to God about it. Let's read our word about it. Let's look up why do the worshipers go first? Why do the worshipers get sent first before the battle? Like why? And let's create our own relationship with the Lord about it and understanding about it. And then he will guide, I promise he will guide your steps and he will make everything work out according to his plan and his purpose for you. If you are solely making eye contact with Jesus, and if you keep your eyes on him during the entire journey, and if you eternally keep your eyes on him, he will not let you down ahead of ourselves, but we have to surrender the control, surrender our own fleshly desires and do our heart check and walk with him and not before him. Let's walk with him and not in front of him.
Yeah.
And I promise that like he'll move. And so I think that simply put, what is worship? It's surrender and it's giving honor and glory to where it's due. And how do I know that I'm not supposed to be on the worship team when I know that I'm a baddie and I can sing? It's like, let's talk to God about it and let's really focus and zone in on him and him alone. And let's not seek out other opinions except for his.
Yeah, that was so good. Wow. I love that you said it's like surrender to God. It's an expression of surrender. Cause I even think of like what it actually is. It's lifting our hands high up to heaven.
Yep.
And it's like we become a funnel between heaven and earth.
Yeah.
We become the thing that God uses for heaven to invade earth, because that's what mm-hmm. worship is. Mm. Is making the veil between heaven and earth thin. It's what we're going to be doing 24/7 in heaven. In Revelation 4, it says like day after day, night after night, they keep on singing, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Like they say it day and day, day after day, night after night. It's what we're going to be doing. And I even think about like when Jesus was born in Luke 2, when it says suddenly many angels appeared singing praises to God. Like praises is an expression of gratitude and awe of who he is. Like from when he was a baby, from when Jesus was a baby on earth, there were angels singing over him. And there's power in when we assemble as an army of God to sing his praises and to express our gratitude. It's like a beautiful expression of ultimate as it is in heaven. And I just think it's such a beautiful way for heaven to invade earth, because at the end of the day, we carry the kingdom inside of us, as it says, and like we should be wanting to extend that kingdom everywhere we go.
Yes.
And the main way is worship. And I also think it's a beautiful way for us as humans to be able to just lay down all our cares, lay down everything that's bothering us, and just say, "Hey God, this is my life and I'm giving it to you." It's a place where we come, where we're radically changed, and where we should actually never leave the same. We should never have an encounter at the altar and go out the same way we came in.
Absolutely.
It's just so beautiful. Even coming from like both coming from churches that have a place a lot of value on worship and on the power of worship. I think that we see firsthand its ability to change people. And its ability to change environments and change cities, because songs can actually reach places that we as people may never be able to do. Songs are never held by a language. I don't know if you've noticed that, but like I'm out here listening to Spanish music sometimes. I'm out here listening to all these different things. I'm like, I don't speak this language, but like songs aren't held by language. They're an expression of love. Like some of the greatest songs around the world are love songs. And we as
Christians
should be producing the greatest love songs, because we as
beautiful
Christians know what love is. Like it says in 1 John, God is love. So the world's idea of love and love songs should pale in comparison to our love songs and our devotion and our love to him, because he is literally love. But Abby, I think you wanted to add something to this, didn't you? You were saying.
Yeah, I love what both of you have said about that. And I think worship, the actual like meaning of worship, although we've spoken about it in a worship leader song type context, the meaning of the word worship actually means a feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity, so for God. And I think ultimately that just says like you don't have to be a singer or be a creative per se. I think we're all creative, but you don't have to be any specific way to worship God. All you have to do is have an expression of reverence and adoration for Jesus, for God. And that's worship. And for each person, that may look so different. Like, not everyone is going to get up on a Sunday on a stage or on a platform and sing or preach or whatever it may be. But in your week, in your day to day, just being who you are, I think worship comes from our spirit. It's an internal thing between us and Jesus.
And
I think it's all about our heart posture as well. If we have a posture that is always in adoration of God and has complete reverence for him and who he is, that's ultimately us simply worshiping Jesus in our everyday.
Totally.
Yeah, that was so good. And I also love this book I'm reading right now is actually about heaven invading earth and how praise, it says praise edifies us and destroys the powers of hell. And it's speaking about all kinds of praise, all kinds of worship. And I just love that it actually has the power, like no matter what our worship is, no matter our day to day, like devoting it as worship destroys the power of hell. And it's just so crazy the ability that praise has. And I think it also is a very unifying thing for the church. Like praise and worship unifies the church, and in unifying it destroys the power of hell, because the main goal of hell and Satan is division and confusion. And if he can get people to be confused and not sure what's going on, then he can sneak his way into things. Worship is also so important in the unifying fact of everything. Yeah, did you have a Bible verse you wanted to share?
I just wanted to say in John 4:21, it actually says true worshipers will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So being a true worshiper is all about your spirit within and the honesty that you live with, being integrous, being honest about who you are, being honest about your relationship with Jesus and where you're at, which is what we spoke about earlier. If you can tell someone is really pouring from a place of spending time with Jesus, I feel like you see it, because true worship is about your truthful and honest relationship with God and being authentic in that.
Like literally as I was saying earlier, we're like, so many people feel like they have to come to the altar like completely clean and with white robes on and all put together, and it's like, oh girl, I'd be coming to the altar dirty. And I'm like, Lord, I'm here to be clean. I'm here to be washed by your blood. Because Lord. Because, but it, again, Abby, it's like back to like the simple things. It's just something we so easily forget, because we're like, oh my God, I have to be sin free. I have to repent before I come. I have to make sure that all my ducks are in a row before I come. And I'm like, Lord, my ducks cannot get in a dang row. We are in a circle. Please help me, God. I am in the altar because I don't know what I'm doing. And it's just a reminder, and it's such like a relief. It's such a beautiful relief of like, thank you, Lord. Like, I don't have to have it together. It's like, great. Well, so I'm a sinner. I'm broken. Please help me, God. Like, I'm the worst, and I need you, God. So I love that. I love everything you're saying.
Yeah, it's so, so good. So like in all of that, I guess as we kind of close out, wrap up a bit. How do we keep a pure heart? How, like, towards people, towards church, like even towards Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
When you like feel like you're unseen, you feel that people are overlooking you, you're giving it your all, but it just isn't good enough. You feel like God wanted you to do this. He's called you into this. Like, how do we keep a heart posture constantly heavenward? And how do we know if we're actually called in that? If we're feeling like this, if we're feeling like we're unseen. And I don't know if you've gone through anything like that or you want to share on it, but how do we remain pure in all that?
I love this question. I also love the word heavenward. Like, how can I keep my heart towards heaven and like keep it on the path towards heaven? But something that I feel like me, and like I even kind of said it earlier, like I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I am in no ways a professional. I am in no ways like certified to be teaching or leading. I'm just out here, and I'm just sharing things that have helped me practically. And like, so something again simple, where it's like, how do I keep my heart pure, is it's like, oh my gosh, it's not about me. Like, none of this is about me, and none of this is for me. And none of this will ever be about me. This is all about Jesus. And that is my goal. That is my mission. That is my calling. Whether like, and this is in general as Christians, this is not just worship, like our calling is to be like Jesus minded, to be mission minded, to be disciples, to make fisher of men. And like, I am out here to spread the love of Jesus because I am made in the image of Jesus. And I'm out here to show others the love of Jesus. Because as you were saying earlier, Bella, like we as Christians have experienced true love and we can share real love, whether that be through writing or anything. And so how I keep a pure heart is just keeping my eyes on my King and not on people. Because if I look at people, I will be hurt. I will be broken. I will feel used. And the church, like guys, the church is made up of people who are broken, who are also just trying to be used by God. And if I put my eyes on them, that is a sign to me that I have become dependent on people and not dependent on Jesus. Yeah. And my goal in life is to be completely dependent and completely surrendered to Jesus and his plan and his will and follow him in that area. But when I turn my eyes to people, I will be let down. When I turn my eyes to the church, I will be let down. When I turn my eyes to my friends, let down. When I turn my eyes to whatever energy and vibe, I will be let down. It's about the Spirit and the Son of God. Like that's who I turn to. When my knees hit the floor, it's like I'm looking up to Jesus. And so remaining pure in worship, remaining pure in my walk with with Jesus and in Christianity is I've remained just with my eyes on him and not on people. And we're all human. Shoot. Like I've totally become a victim of like, I'm looking for affirmation in my leaders, or I'm looking for like a good job, or man, that was so good from other people. And in reality, it's like when I look, shoot, I see it, but it never, ever fulfills me. And it never, ever will satisfy me because it's not about them. And it like actually has nothing to do with them. It's all about him. And so I think remaining pure in that, and when it gets to moments where like, oh, I just feel unseen and I feel like unheard, it's like, no, I totally understand. Like there are different seasons that we go through where we might feel like that, but it's again back to a heart check of like, am I looking for affirmation? Am I seeking for something in other people? Do I have an impure motive? And right now I've been listening to this song called Pure, where it's like, may my worship be pure, like not for anything that I could gain. Like this is not about me. I'm not here to gain anything. I'm not here just so I could be filled up and leave. It's like, this is, I'm here to honor you and bring you praise because it's all about you. It is all about you. It will always be about you. And like even the song, like I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. And I just think that that is the ultimate answer to this entire thing that we've been talking about on this entire podcast is like, performance versus like actual like praise and worship. Yeah. It's like, it's about Jesus. It's not about the people. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about God and our Father and our intimacy with him. It's not about pleasing other people and showing off our own talents. And so ultimately, to answer the question, like stay in your secret place, keep your eyes off of the people, and you are seen. It's just you are seen by God. And that is the ultimate place where we need to find our worth and our value. And that is our ultimate place where like we will find everything that we are looking for if we take our eyes off of the worldly things and we focus heavenwardly.
Heavenwardly. That was so beautiful. I love that. I think like just as you were saying, like it's all about keeping our eyes on the King. I think like we're not actually called to be worship leaders. Like he doesn't say you're called to be worship leaders. No, like we're actually all called to be followers of Jesus. We just have to be gifted at worship leading.
And oh my gosh, yes, so good.
Our worship should be like an overflow of our love and our calling to be followers of him.
That's so good, Bella.
To be devoted to Jesus. It should be a free flow of our abundance in his presence. And like I said earlier about the whole like where you're pouring from, like it should almost be, you know how when a tap turns on and water just flows out and it keeps on flowing, turn that tap off, it should be a never-ending tap. It should be a constant flow of a deep, intimacy with him. And it doesn't flow out of us being great, out of us being awesome, out of us being called to do this. This is what I'm called to do. I have to do it. No, you're called to just follow him. And from that, direct your steps.
Yes. I love that. I love that you just said that, because it's such a good thing where it's like, I have to be a good follower. Like, teach me how to follow, Lord. Like, I have to follow my leader. Like, I'm following him. Like, as I said earlier, like, he is our shepherd and we're his sheep. Sheep are literally following the shepherd. It's like, how good of a follower are you? Like, we are called to follow Jesus and be ultimate followers of him. I love that. That was great. That was a great point, Bells.
Yeah, I agree with everything that we've said about that. And I think there's also, like, it just reminded me of a verse in the Bible in Psalm 127. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. And it, like, that ultimately means, like, whatever God's called you to do, he's going to bring it to pass. If he's called you to be an amazing worship leader, it's like he's going to make it happen, whether you want it to or not. Because it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. And it's up to us. And it sometimes I feel like it can be like, oh, why am I doing this? What's the point? Like, everything we've kind of discussed. But it's like, actually, God has a bigger plan than all of it.
Yes.
And you don't have to strive, because as soon as we start doing it for ourselves, or we're trying to be like, oh, I can sing, I can do this, then it's almost like we're striving.
Yeah.
Yep.
But honestly,
yep.
God says it's his way above all else. And if he wants it, it's going to come to pass. And the Lord builds his own house. He builds your life.
Yes.
And, those who themselves will labor in vain. So allow
him love to that.
Use you in your unique ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that just reminded me of, like, something else that the Lord was kind of talking to me about over the summer a bit, when I was like, I read this book called The Reset by Jeremy Riddle. And it was literally about returning to the heart of worship. And a story in the Bible that I just thought of when you were talking, Abby, was about, like, when Abraham, the Lord told him, like, he's gonna have a son, and Abraham's like, I am old, I am way too old for this. And his wife was Rachel, right? Shoot, who was his wife?
Abraham. Sarah.
Sarah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for Bella.
Rachel's great. Love her.
Well, we love that girl. But Sarah's a woman. Sarah was a woman of God. And so Sarah, like, she's like, oh, she is too old, like, she ain't gonna have no kids. And so man sleeps with another woman, gets her impregnated, and has Ishmael, right? Please correct me, Bells.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Lord. And it's like that he was trying to fulfill God's promise for him, because he was like, oh, the Lord gave me a word, he gave me a promise, so I'm gonna make it happen. It's like he took matters into his own hands, when in reality Sarah had a child, she had a son, and it was God's promise. And so it's like the Lord still blessed Abraham, but just he got ahead of himself, and he fulfilled his own promise, when in reality it's like the Lord tells us things and it happens in his own timing, and we are called to trust and to lean not on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all our heart, and to follow in his ways, and like, and acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will make our path straight. And so I think that, Abby, like what you were saying was just, it just reminded me of that whole Bible story, and like reminded me of like the journey the Lord brought me on, where he's like, the promise will be fulfilled, girl, just like, let me do it. Like, don't take matters into your own hands. Like, don't try to keep your foot in the door. Like, take your foot out of the door, close the door, and wait for me to open it. Wait for me to completely open or close the next door. And so I loved what you just had to say. It just reminded me and taught me something new.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. And I think also when you were talking, Ben, I was thinking about how I was reading in Isaiah, and they were talking in Isaiah 16 about the prophecy of a Moab and the Moabites. And they basically said that in verse 7, it says, let Moab wail for Moab. Like, their pride is so deep and so rooted in them that they were like, hey, even in our distress and even in our pain, we're going to turn inward, and we're not even going to turn to God. Like, they were so far from God, they're like, we're going to turn to ourselves. How can I fix this? How can I make this situation better? And I think that literally just shows that, like, pride causes us to turn inward and forget about God. Pride has to be broken by humility. And I think we can never have too much humility. If you want a pure heart and you want to be full of daily worship, it can hurt. like constantly. It's a constant thing. Mm. I just wanted to constantly turn to God in humble repentance. He always
Absolutely. Has
an opportunity to repent. Because when we say, hey, let Bella wail for Bella, like, that's so sad. Like, no, turn to God, wail with God, wail.
Right, right.
He's going
right.
to wail with you. Like, Jesus does weep.
Yes, yes.
He feels it with you. So, like, it's not about our ability, it's about His and how He yes. can resurrect a situation. And I think it also indicates, because Moab was like quite a small place, like they let pride creep in. It's not only the big things and the big names and the ones who have all this yep. opportunity and the ones who are seen and known, like it's actually anyone and it's anything. And the condition yeah. of the human heart is so important.
Yeah.
So yeah, as we close out, I think maybe just like leave us with a, like, I don't know, one line, a pointer, something from this whole thing. Like, I would say, take all your hurt to Jesus. Let all your pain be Jesus's. Like, find a good voices in your life and talk about it. Don't let the pride control you. I think Abby's yes. gonna coming really quick, and then you say your line.
I gotta think of my line. Shoot.
Yeah, I feel like I need to think of mine too. I would say, let your everyday life worship Jesus, not just the big moments. And not just a Sunday, but like every day, the way you live, let it be a sacrifice. Let it, let your everyday worship Him. And I would say, He will build His house, and He will put you where He needs you, and He will use your gifts in the way that He desires for your life.
So good.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
I don't know. I'm just like, there's so much to say about
so much
Him and His goodness, but like something that I just like constantly tell myself and that we talked about earlier is like live 95.5 and worship is my warfare and worship is my weapon. And so you were also touching bells about like pray without ceasing, and it's like pray without ceasing and turn to worship, and in everything, like, may that be your response. May your first response be prayer and worship and praise to God. And so a couple of things that I would just say is like heart check.
Yeah.
Being a constant heart check.
Heart check,
100%. Make eye contact with your creator and never lose that eye contact. And worship and praise and prayer. And that will be your weapon for the rest of your life. And I'm just really grateful, Bella. Thank you for like letting me be a part of this. And thank you for this conversation. Like, I'm leaving this conversation reminded of so many things and leaving strengthened and leaving with like kind of like a new fire into my butt of like, all right, like this is what we're doing and this is how we're called to live. And so like, I just really deeply appreciate you and Abby and like what you guys are doing and just creating a space where vulnerability can create intimacy and like where we can become intimate with our conversation, because it is helping me. And I'm just, my prayer is that it'll help whoever can listen to this. But if I'm the only one it impacts, like, if it's just us, like, know that like I was impacted just because of like you and Abby's both like your obedience and your responses. So I'm grateful for you too. And I love you guys.
I love you, Caroline. I'm so blessed by you. You have so much wisdom. Like, I was literally sitting here listening and going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm friends with this amazing, incredible literally person. Stop. Like, how literally blessed stop. Am I? And now all these people get to be friends with you too because they're friends with the podcast.
Yes, we're all besties. Yes. We are all besties.
We love you all, besties. But for real, we are so blessed to have had Caroline on here. Thank you. Oh, we love you. We honor you. And thank you for taking time to feed us and the people that are listening to this pour into them. You truly are one of my favorites, and God has incredible plans for you. And to everyone listening, we love you. Thank you for listening. Feel free to reach out, message us, talk to us, let us know if you've liked the podcast, leave a little review, like it. But yeah, thank you all for listening. You are the best, and we will see you all next time. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
That's all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and got something out of it. If you liked it, please don't hesitate to give us a little like or a view and subscribe to our weekly uploads.
We'd love to hear from you guys, so feel free to email us at withlovethepodcast@gmail.com or reach out via Instagram @withlovethepod. Thanks for listening.